Will I pray again? No. So we're continuing on the series of talks, Watch Out, There's a Thief About, which is a great title, and the last two series of talks have been really good. Now, I'm going to be reading, not yet, from Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower. It's a really well-known parable, and Jesus spoke a lot in parables, and I'm going to be speaking that in a few minutes. So it's Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15, if you want to find it now. Last week, Taddy reminded us that it was Jesus who said that Satan is a murderer and the father of lies. All evil, all wickedness in this world stems from Satan. Jesus also said that he is a thief who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. All murders, lies, thieving, all evil, all sin is rooted in Satan. However, although all sin is rooted in Satan, those who commit it are responsible for it and are answerable to God for this. Taddy last week told a lot of funny stories. I always talk to my mum. I'm a mummy's boy, right? Always have been. And I always chat to my mum afterwards. She phones me on a Sunday night. She goes, well, and she goes out with the sermon. She said, oh, Taddy's sermon was really good last week, and he told so many stories. And you know, but one of the stories that stuck in my mind was the one about the guy who had a TV license from 1971. I thought it was still legitimate. I thought it was a scam when I heard it. But, you know, there's scammers in this world, Taddy talked about. I get them all the time in my business. People phoning me up from China or wherever they are telling me that, you know, I'm due money or something, I think, of only. But he talked about how scammers can con us out of money, out of possessions. If we don't waken up what they're doing, they can rob us. And the same is with Satan. He can rob you of all of your joy in this life if you don't wake up to what he is doing. Now, his objective is to steal, to kill, and destroy. That is Satan's main aim. But if we believe his lies, he will rob us of all that we have, much more than just our money and our possessions. So I'm going to read from the parable of the sower, well-known story in the Christian circles. I've actually never preached in this before, so it's first time. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he who has ears, let him hear. Then his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones in the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no root, who believe for a while, and in time temptation fall away. Now the ones that fall among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Okay, so I'm speaking in this parable, and Jesus spoke in parables, mostly. A third of all of his teachings are in parables. And he did this because it was a way of putting across imagery to convey messages which were simple, had one major point, and were powerful and understood by the people of the day. Scholars have commented that although these parables are simple, the messages they convey are deep and central to the teachings of Jesus. So they're really important, the parables, and you may know a few of them yourselves. In our reading tonight, there's a great throng of people who've come to Jesus. I mean, Jesus' ministry was really kicking off at this point, and many, many people were coming out to hear him. And so he had to set himself aside and to speak to this multitude of people who had come to hear what he had to say. And so Jesus, being Jesus, spoke on something that they would know, and this was farming, of course, and sowing the seed. And it was common practice in Israel, of course, it was in that known world, that's how you lived, basically be a farmer. And so he did this. Now I'm going to break it down very easy to begin with. So first of all, we have the sower, who is the person sowing the word of God. And if you want to look at that today, that could be me, it could be Taddy, it could be another minister, an evangelist. Anybody who's preaching the gospel is sowing the word of God. However, in this story, Jesus may be alluding to himself, of course, that would be highly likely. The seed is the word of God and is spoken of in the Bible as being a precious seed. In other places, it's the incorruptible word of God, which lives forever. And the seed is viewed as the word of God and should never be diluted or mixed with any other seed or current corrupt gospel. We get the word of God being mixed up all the time with people adding. Even Taddy was saying this morning about the Marxists in America, and sort of from many years ago, and they've kicked off again. And they're trying to change the gospel and dilute it to the way they want it to be. And so it happens all the time. The gospel, the word of God, has to be pure and undiluted. It has to be the pure word of God that we're talking about. So this is what's being spread. Now we know that there's four kinds of soil that are going to receive the seed. Some fell on the wayside, some fell on the rock, some fell among the thorns, and some fell on good ground. Now each of these describes a type of person who hears the gospel and how they react to it. So the first seed that fell was on the wayside. And this could have basically been the walking along and the seed falling. It may not have just been cast upon. It might have just been falling upon it, because you wouldn't necessarily throw seed just to the side on the wayside. Now, this kind of ground has no real depth. It has no real substance. And it prevents the seed from having any real chance of taking root. The result is that it is trampled underfoot, of course, because there'd be a lot of people be walking along the wayside. And we're told that the birds of the air come down and devour it. Devour it means they basically eat it in a sort of ravenous way. Now this describes that people whose hearts hear the word of God, but over the years or the period of time, the word of God, they don't accept it and they don't believe it. And this results in a bit of a hard heart. And the ground that they've fallen on is similar to their heart. It's hardened. And therefore, even though they hear the gospel, they reject it. So that's the first. The seed that fell in the rock is regarding rock that is under a covering. So sometimes you hear the expression, oh, we've hit rock. Well, what it means is rock would be, like I built something 10 years ago, and I thought I had it all worked out. Everything was going to go to plan, no problem. And the first thing we did was hit rock. It cost me about 15 grand to move the rock. So rock, it sits underneath the soil. You might not necessarily see it. A small covering, and so to hit rock is probably one of the worst things you can do if you're a builder. So some seeds fell in this, and what it means is that there's nowhere for the root to grow because there's only a very shallow amount of ground. And what happens when the seed hits that, it will spring up really quickly, but then it will fade away because there's no nourishment for the plant. Initially, these people will be people who will hear the word of God, who will react to it, but because of no moisture, because they've nothing really sufficient within them, they fade away very, very quickly. This describes people who hear the word of God, accept it for a little while, but their convictions are shallow, just like the soil that they're in, and their hearts are hardened like the stone that they're on. And then when troubles arrive, persecution may come, the sun dries up the plant very quickly, and soon they depart from following Jesus. Then we have the seed that fell among the thorns, which best describes many, many so-called believers who come to follow Jesus. Now these seeds are thrown amongst the thorns, and this is the only time we read about a plant, if you like. Everything else is ground condition, but here we have a plant, a thorny bush, or whatever you want to call it. And the seed goes amongst these thorns and these shrubs. And this is the worst place that a seed can possibly go. It's overcrowded, it's shady, it can be choked by the thorns, growing can be very difficult. And this is the place where a young plant would struggle to grow. The place where a young believer would easily be choked by the cares of the world, drawn back into the sinful ways of the world, because very quickly they're choked by the things that they have been meant to be set free from, and they get engrossed back into them. It is indeed a very dangerous ground to fall upon, but one that Satan particularly loves. And he's able to entice and to seduce the new believer back into the ways of the world really, really easy. And then the final ground that the seed falls upon is called the good ground. And this ground yielded a crop. So here's the second time we hear about an actual plant. This is a crop we're talking about. Now the soil here is really important. It's good soil. It's able to retain the water. It's let the water pass through it down to the roots. It's got a good substance to the soil. It's good to grow in. All these kind of things. And back in the day, before I do what I do, I wanted to be a doctor, you see. I wasn't smart enough. And I did GCSE biology at school. And I bet the teacher back then, Mr. Hayes, I think it was, he told me I would never come to nothing. So I bet him a fiver I could get a B in the GCSE, and I did. And he never gave me my fiver. But anyway, my girls brought home these wee things from school not long ago. Mr. Potato Heads. And my youngest one goes, Daddy, that looks like you. Because with no hair on. But the thing about a Mr. Potato Head is there's wee seeds in it. And you water it. We used to water it every day. And then you'll see in the wee seeds begin to grow. And the wee roots must be going down. And then you see germination, which is the wee stems begin to come up. And then as they begin to grow, they start to do the little branches, whatever you want to call them, come off it, and the wee thing begins to sprout up, and Mr. Potato Head's got a head of hair. And that's the whole idea. But if you look at that in this good ground, that's looking like the believer who accepts Jesus. Because we are seed that falls in good ground, we begin to germinate, we begin to get root, we begin to grow, and eventually we all turn into little beautiful flowers. And then after that, we become little plants, or little flowers, and our seeds fly away in the wind, pollinate everywhere it goes, and that is like us spreading the word of God that we have become. It's our life, it's everything we believe in, so we want to be little flowers, and our little pollination flies away, and the little bees fly into the flowers and spread it. And that is the sort of picture of what a good a Christian should be. Someone who is prepared to spread the word of God wherever we go and be that good little plant. Now, tonight, if you're here and you're a believer, that's the good part of the story. And some of us are little daffodils, others are little bluebells, some of us are orange lilies. You know, we're all different types of plant in here. But that's the sort of ideal scenario, the ground we want to be on, and that's where we want to be tonight. Now, that's the good bit of this talk, and I sort of get that over and done with. But the main point of the talk is looking at the other soils and what Jesus meant when he looked at these things. The title of the series is Watch Out, There's a Thief About. And this parable is perfect for what the series is about. The seed that falls by the wayside are those who hear the word of God, and Satan quickly comes and takes it away before they have a chance to believe and be saved. And the birds are identified as the arch enemies of the Christians. The birds are like Satan's workers, and they will swoop down the minute they think that you're about to believe in Jesus. These things will swoop down and they will snatch any chance of you believing in God. Satan and his many hosts or allies, or whatever you want to call them, are like these birds, and they come to take away before the seed can take root in your mind and in your heart. And you've got to notice how punctual Satan can be. He's the most punctual person. I will never be late. I'm always on time. But Satan will be there before me. He comes as soon as the seed is sown to take it out of your heart. Not only is he punctual, but he also displays his power and his purpose, because he doesn't want anybody to believe or anybody to save. Satan may let you ponder the message for a while. He may let you think about Christianity. He may let you think about God. But whenever the challenges begin to sneak into your life, you'll begin to hear the words, what God? Who's God? What God are you talking about? Where is he? Is he helping you now? And Satan begins to bring in this sort of unbelief into your mind. And so this Christian or this early, sort of kind of believer at the start, begins to fade very quickly. The second seed that we looked at was under the small layer, was the rock, under the rock. And these Christians hear the word and they spring up very fast. But they have no depth, no convictions, because when we dig under the surface, we see that, of course, there is a heart of rock. That's the way I put it across. People who might want to hear, but they're not really interested. They don't really want to hear. They hear the gospel, they're shallow. They might be the kind of people you come flying into church the minute they think they believe, and they do all the things that are godly, and they do all the dancing, and they're reading the Bible 100 times a day. But really, their profession is shallow. They have no depth. They engage for a while, but then they disengage. They soon become busy with other things in life, and Satan is able to entice them and rob them of what they might have believed in. He can overload them with anxieties and fears and problems and cares of the world so that they may give up the word of God. And soon everything that they thought they had disappears. And this is because they have no root. For a while they believe, and in a short space of time, temptation and sin leads them away. The seed that fell among the thorns, the third one, are those who have heard the word and are choked by the cares of the world. These cares talk about responsibilities, burdens, troubles, grief, heartbreaks, all the things that we associate with being human are the things that will soon choke you. Riches and pleasures describes the other side of this coin in life that might choke you too. The love of materialism, the pleasure you derive from all the riches that you have, the lovely car you have, all the things that you have that you don't want to give up, are the things that can easily choke the new believer. You know, many have talked about Paul in the New Testament, about the thorn in the flesh that he had, the affliction that he had. And I was thinking about the thorn here in the thorn bush, and thinking about the afflictions that we so easily get the minute that we become Christians. You know, my life was great before I became a Christian, and then I realized how difficult life was going to be. But I wouldn't give it up for anything. You know, Tally talked this morning about afflictions. You know, if you think you're going to have an easy life as a Christian, go and read the verses Tally read this morning, and you'll soon realize it's not an easy ride. But the thorn that we talk about can be the things that can damage us. I've got a thorn in my flesh that damages me day after day after day. But I still get up and I still go through the thorn bushes and I still carry on. But many can't get past the thorn bush. When we look at riches, we need to consider how difficult it is. Now I look at riches, look at materialism, all the things you have. Jesus had to speak to a young rich ruler who had come to him. And the young rich ruler said to Jesus, I am perfect. I keep the law, the Ten Commandments, you may know. I do all the things. I'm good enough to be saved. And Jesus challenged him about his wealth and said, you know, if you're so good, go and sell all you have, or in your case, go and give all you have to the needy or the poor, or give up the things in your life that hold you back from Jesus, and you will be good enough then, you know, you can enter the kingdom of heaven. And this challenge was too great for him because he was wealthy, and so he turned around, and we don't know the outcome of what happened, but I'm guessing that he decided that it was too great a cost to give up to follow Jesus. Maybe tonight you are like the young rich ruler. You have all the things in life that are beginning to choke you the minute you want to consider being a Christian. And so, you know, you think about the things you have. Maybe you have plenty of money. Maybe you have a particular thing in life like gambling, or maybe you like the wedge of bet on the horses or the football at the weekend, or you attend the clubs, or these are the sort of things you have in your life. And Satan said, do you really want to give these up? Do you want to become a Christian and give up all the good things in life? You become a Christian, you're getting rid of everything that's joyful, and you're becoming boring. You're going to church on a Sunday twice. You're going on a Wednesday night, the Bible study, you're going to become a bore. And that's what happened. Satan told me I was going to be the most boring person in the world. And the issue is that everything you have in your life becomes so important the minute you find Jesus coming. Jesus is coming. Oh, I have to give up everything. It's not like that, but that's what Satan wants to do. And this is what Satan wants to do to prevent you from having a relationship with him. Satan wants to hold you and hold you on every vice that you have to prevent you from knowing Jesus. You know? It's amazing when you hear the word of God and begin to consider that Satan comes in waltzing around, you know. Satan comes along, starts showing you all the good things in life. I was single before I became a Christian. I kind of wasn't, but then I became single. Then I became a Christian. See, when I became a Christian, I had every woman in town chasing me. Huh? Single for so long, all the women come along. You think to yourself, want to be a Christian? Want to go out to all the women. And this is what happens. So all the things that you think, they become intensified in your life. So the things that you love become greater and greater and greater, and you sort of have to battle really hard. The lies begin to sneak in. God can't love you. You're a drinker, you're a smoker, you take drugs, the list goes on and on and on. My mum says to me, I smoke every day. It'll not keep me out of heaven, but it'll get me there a bit quicker. And that's the same with all these things. If you're a smoker or a drinker or a drug addict, I don't care. My job in this life is to get you to realize that Jesus loves you no matter the condition you're in. Doesn't matter if you're a murderer. Doesn't matter, you know, whatever the thing is. God wants you to know he loves you because he sent Jesus to do that. And this is what it's about. And so Satan will use every lie he can to manipulate and to control you and to keep you where he wants you to be. Now, there's a flip side, and I always like to do the flip sides, right? So there's a flip side to everything I've said. We've talked about, you know, the seed that falls and you hear the word of God and it's going across the world. And it's happening. But Galatians 6:7 says this, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. There are natural consequences to our actions. The world operates under the laws of cause and effect. There is no way around this. Once you've chosen action, there will be a consequence of that action. In this world, many are sowing. Now, I've talked about the sowing the seeds in the gospel, but if you flip it around, you are sowing your own seeds tonight. And these seeds can be the seeds of enjoyment and pleasure. Life is good. I don't need Jesus. You know, rich people don't need Jesus because they've got all the money in town. They don't need Jesus to come and make their life any better. That's why it says it's harder for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. Because they don't need Jesus. Others are sowing murder and violence and corruption. But they don't need Jesus. They're busy doing all the things they want to do. They're sowing their seeds of corruption and murder. The truth is that it doesn't matter if you're sowing the seeds of enjoyment or sowing the seeds of murder. Both groups of people are sowing seeds of destruction. Because ultimately, rejecting the voice of Jesus will end in separation from God and eternity forever. Satan wants you to be sowing those seeds. Go out and sow the seeds of gambling, or go out and sow the seeds of drinking, or whatever it is that keeps you happy. Satan, in fact, he's filling the sack for you. You know, he keeps bringing it and bringing it and bringing it, and you keep busy sowing it. This is great life. And you're going to keep doing it until you realize that Satan is robbing you. He is blinding you to the truth and the truth of what Jesus wants to do for you. He also wants you to sow in this life so that it keeps you busy from seeking the word of God. If you're doing all the other things in life, you don't need to go seeking God. What are you going to go seeking God for? You got all the other things to do in life. Are you busy? See, before I became a Christian, I was the busiest person in the world. See, when I became a Christian, I was even busier. I've always been a busy person. But you can be so busy doing things that you've no time to seek God. You've no time to listen to him. So I want you to consider tonight, what are you sowing and what are you ultimately going to reap? If you receive the seed that Jesus gives, the word of God, then you can be sure and secure to grow like the plant that bears good fruit. To be a little daffodil like me. To grow up and be lovely. And then to spread the little seeds and do what I'm meant to do. Alternatively, you could be like the rich young ruler who decides to turn away from Jesus because you don't want to give up the wealth. You don't want to give up the good times. You don't want to give up the gambling and the wee flutter doing the football and all that stuff that people do. You don't want to do that. Well, if you're going to continue down that road, you're going to sow the seeds of destruction. In this case, your heart is like that of the stony ground and the thorny soil. Both cause your heart to be like stone, hardened enough to reject Jesus. Tonight, I want you to consider, and this is me finishing, I want you to consider the four types of soil because you are one of those soils. Everybody in here tonight is a soil. You're one of the four soils. Hope that's not God for me. Tonight, consider what soil you are. Tonight, I am sowing the Word of God. I am like the sower, and I'm spreading out the Word of God, and you guys are all receiving it. Now, everybody has to consider, which one of the soils are you, and are you going to consider to receive Jesus into your heart? That's not a hard question. This is not difficult. On the other side, we have Satan. He is the thief, a liar, a father of lies. He is out to rob you tonight. He is out to prevent you hearing the Word of God. He is wanting to rob you of any salvation that you may get. And he wants you to believe the lies that he has been sowing in your life. You've got to waken up tonight to the truth that Satan exists. This is not a little fairy tale. I'm not wasting my time telling you fairy tales tonight. Satan is real. He exists. I have met many of his cohorts. And they're out to steal, to kill, and destroy, and to rob you of any opportunity you have of knowing Jesus, and ultimately in Jesus having your salvation. I would encourage anyone here tonight who's on a bit of stony ground to maybe think about what's being said. Don't let any of the things in your life or Satan's hold over those things prevent you from coming to know him, because time is short. I had a conversation earlier with somebody else tonight talking about time, and I reckon we have not very long left because things are changing very fast. You know, you might not have too many opportunities to hear the Word of God, but I just pray that you would take on board what's being said. I'll just finish. Father God, I thank you for your Word tonight, Lord God. I thank you for everything that you've shown me this week personally and helping me, Lord, to understand just what you're saying. Help us, Lord, to all have hearts of flesh. Hearts, Lord, willing to receive your Spirit through Jesus, that you, Lord God, would come into our lives, and that Jesus, Lord God, would be the salvation that we're looking for, and that he would change our hearts and help us, Lord God, to turn to you and to love you. I ask you, Lord God, to bless us this week as we leave here. Help us, Lord, to meditate upon what's being said the whole day long, and Lord God, to take it into our hearts, and that, Lord, you would make a difference in our hearts. Lord, don't let Jesus rob people in here tonight of knowing who you are because of Satan, the father of lies, who seeks to rob and destroy and to kill. Help us, Lord God, please, tonight, to listen to you and your Word, and let it be sown into our hearts. Let it take root, let it grow, and let it make a difference. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.